Welcome back to episode 21 of the Visit Julian podcast. I always start off by saying I'm excited, so why change today? I'm excited. What I like is that I get to interview different people and that are in different types of businesses. So today we're interviewing Mark from the Blue Door Winery.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, no worries.
This is a great time to talk about all the great stuff that's going on in Julian. And you guys have the Blue Door Winery.
We do. We have a tasting room here in Julian where we've been for almost 11 years now.
That's great.
The winery itself's in San Diego where we make everything, all the tanks, all the barrels, that sort of thing. But we have over here on B Street across from Kecho our Julian tasting room.
Yeah. And that little great K.O. Corral. I always want to call it the K.Q. Corral because of K.Q. Ranch, but yep. K.O. Corral, which has a great set of little businesses in there. You got the chocolate and the art gallery and one of my favorites.
Yeah, Crow and Lilac is there. There's two new businesses moving in there as well, so the complex will be full of
great people.
Merchants and all kinds of goods and stuff.
And wine tasting. Yeah. So I hear constantly people talking about your sangria. That's like a big draw.
It is. We make red wines. Mm-hmm. We focus on French and Italian varietals. Mm-hmm. But in Julian, July and August, it's 95 degrees out.
Right.
So we need something cold.
Sure.
So that's our sangria.
That makes sense.
And we sell a lot of sangria. Folks go hiking, they want sangria. Folks are camping, they want a growler to take back to the campsite. Mm-hmm. We go through a lot of sangria. We go through a ton of wine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the sangria is a hit for the sort of casual walk around town.
Kind sure, of place, that makes perfect sense. I just hear it a lot. So, and you do have a second location that's in San Diego.
That's our primary location. Mm-hmm. We originally were making wine in San Marcos. Mm-hmm. The warehouse was not zoned for tasting, so we were looking for a place to open a tasting room. Mm-hmm. And we figured if 60 miles, we wanted, because we were living in San Diego, and we figured 60 miles-ish would be kind of that distance that's manageable for us to run a business, and also distance enough for customers to want to buy a bottle, like a souvenir. Mm-hmm. So we figured out, on a map, it was like, 4 inches or so, and put a pin in San Diego and drew a circle. Uh-huh. And, that circumference was sort of the zone we were looking at. Half of it, of course, ended up in the Pacific Ocean.
Sure.
So that was no good.
Right.
The other half was in Mexico, or, the southern part of it.
Sure.
Up towards Oceanside and stuff, but didn't really, along the coast, wasn't really feeling like it was a change from San Diego.
Sure.
Well, the string went right through Julian. Mm. And we're like, oh my God, that little town of Julian. We've always loved this town. Mm-hmm. We'd always come up for day trips. I proposed to my wife, at the four-way stop sign here.
Oh,
in the
no way.
Years ago.
So cool.
And so we were like, Julian, huh? Okay. And there was already Witch Creek here. Mm-hmm. Or Fila Winery was here. They had satellite tasting rooms up here as well. Mm-hmm. So we kind of poked around and went wine tasting at those places. Mm-hmm. The crowd was good. There was a good stream of traffic. And I was like, okay, let's do it. Yeah. So we started off at the old Jenkins Winery for a year, which is now Vulcan Mountain Winery.
Right. Uh-huh.
So we had a tasting room there for a year. And then we moved in town to the K.O. Corral, where we've been now for 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, it was a good move for you then.
You know what? It was, because at the time we were commuting back home to San Diego. Mm-hmm. And sometimes Cameron, my wife, would be working by herself, and it'd be dark out there.
Sure.
And there'd be no cell phone service.
Right.
And sometimes she'd be driving home in bad weather.
Yeah.
And so this, for just a, not just the foot traffic sense, but just a personal sort of safety and convenience sense. So we moved back into town, moved into town and opened up, in the old livery yard, which the building's about 100 years old, roughly. Mm-hmm. It's the old stables for the town. Mm-hmm. And so we replaced the floor, built the bar, all this sort of stuff. It looks fantastic. It's so charming. Hay bales and wood floors and stuff. It totally fits the town.
Yeah.
And we're 7 days a week, noon to five, weather permitting. And then sometimes, frankly, we work every day and sometimes, if it's a Tuesday and it's 4:30 in the afternoon, we'll go to the pub and have a pint.
So, sure, I've seen you at the pub having a pint.
We'll go down to the pub and have a pint, But, and sometimes if it's so quiet, we'll put a note up saying walking the dog. But we're 7 days a week, noon to five. Weekends are definitely the busy time.
Sure.
Weekends are packed.
Yeah.
So we then moved ourselves up here 4 years ago, so we now live in Julian, too, so we live about a mile away.
Yeah, it'll draw you in for sure.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great little town.
Yeah, for sure. I see that you have a wine club.
Yes.
So how do people participate in that, and what does it look like?
So it's 3 bottles of wine every quarter, always reds, of course, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You get those wines at 20% off retail price. Mm-hmm. Our retail price is around 37 to 47 a bottle right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you get 20% off those bottles. Anytime you come in, the first round's on us, great, whether it's here in Julian or at our location in San Diego,
mm-hmm,
or at our new location that we'll be opening up in a few years from now.
Oh, wow.
We just closed on some land in the Bellina Valley, so we're going to start putting vines in.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, which would be so much fun.
Did you say the Marina Valley?
No, Bellina Valley.
Bellina
right
Valley.
Right by the Camel Dairy Farm.
Oh, so close to here still.
Yeah, right at the split of 78 and Old Julian Highway.
Old Julian Highway. Great for you. Good news.
Yeah, so it's on the way to between both locations, so we can work there conveniently.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the wine club is 20% off, 3 bottles of wine every quarter. Any additional wine you buy, 20% off those bottles.
Mm-hmm.
10% off of merchandise, and then the biggest perk for a customer point of view is anytime you end the first rounds on us.
Yeah, that's so great.
For you and a guest. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. And I know also, and great, we're here to talk about Julian, but we're also here to support your business. So I saw that you guys have event offerings at your location in San Diego. So if someone wanted to host an event at your room.
The San Diego location is we do events at both locations.
Okay.
But predominantly the events are happening in San Diego, not here in Julian. Mm-hmm.
The location in Julian is going to be a smaller.
It's much smaller here. The San Diego spot's 3,000 square feet. It's huge.
Oh.
And we've done weddings. We did our wedding there.
Mm-hmm.
Wedding receptions, retirement parties, college graduation parties. A lot of that due to a close, almost all of it due to a close because of COVID.
Right.
But we're starting now to get things back on the calendar.
Right. So people are anxious to get back to life. Yeah.
Yeah. One of our fun events that we do down there, we had to stop it because of COVID, was our live comedy shows. And those are just a blast.
Is it you? Are you funny, Mark?
It's not me. No. I get nowhere. I introduce the MC. That's as close as I get to the mic. Yeah. No, we get comics who come down from Las Vegas and Hollywood. And
oh, wow.
We've had some folks go on to be on Jimmy Fallon and stuff, and we get some really good talent. So that took a pause because of COVID, but that should be coming back. But that is at the San Diego spot, not the Julian spot. So,
right, yeah. But a lot of our visitors come from San Diego,
exactly.
So if they happened upon your location here in Julian, mm-hmm, they can also enjoy your wines in San Diego. So I think it's relevant for us to talk about it in a Julian sense.
When we first opened up here, this is 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. We had folks sign up for a newsletter,
mm-hmm,
and we had them put their zip code down, and it was just me as being curious as to where folks are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And some were coming from Orange County, some were coming from Yuma, mm-hmm, some were coming from Tijuana.
I know, it's
crazy.
But
the 96% of the zip codes we got were San Diego, right? Were the greater San Diego area.
That makes perfect sense.
Not I don't mean San Diego County, like not power. I mean the greater San Diego.
Yeah.
City area.
Sure.
Yeah.
Got it. So that's why I'm happy to talk about both locations, because again, if they come up here and they fall in love. Now, do you do sangria down there, or is that really a Julian exclusive?
We do it down there too, and so people were begging us for years to figure out a way to bottle it.
Mm. Oh.
And we were sitting at one of the breweries here, either Nickel or JBC, and we were like, growlers. Why don't we just do growlers like breweries do?
Yeah.
And so we do growlers. And so we've sold several thousand growlers, and so a lot of those find their way back to people's homes in San Diego.
Right.
So yes, the sangria is also in San Diego.
Good, good.
So people can come fill their growlers.
And I remember seeing on your Facebook page the growlers for Super Bowl, promoting that. So.
Wow, and that was, Super Bowl afternoon, Super Bowl Sunday. It might not be red wine, and folks are barbecuing in San Diego and stuff. So of course, that's the posters. Is come fill your growler on Saturday and have it ready to roll for Sunday.
And not to be sexist or anything, because I'm a beer girl, as you know.
You've
seen me throw back
actually,
to beers.
I actually listened to the episode you did with Tom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But,
talking about his IPAs and stuff.
Yes, I'm a big beer fan. Yeah. But most women are... Not most, a lot of women are not. So we have big Super Bowl parties, so it's really nice to be able to have that sangria so that people can enjoy a refreshing drink. And
it's lighter, to be honest, and folks coming to Julian, it's a really good option if they're driving home. And they want to have something to drink, but they don't want to get tipsy.
Right.
So our wine is pushing anywhere from 14.3 right now to 15.8% alcohol. Mm-hmm. These are big reds that I make. Uh-huh. I make big dry reds. The sangria is hovering right around 5.5%.
Right.
Alcohol. Much lighter.
Sure.
So if someone's worried about driving the windy roads, yeah, then that's a better option.
Yeah, we absolutely want people to manage that when they come up here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so a little bit about your winemaking philosophy, mm-hmm, so people can hear your passion.
Yeah. Well, my friend and I don't know how much detail I should go into. we needed a hobby.
Sure.
Put it that way. We would go to the Shakespeare pub in San Diego, uh-huh, and watch football. I grew up in England, and so we'd watch the English football leagues, which of course...
Soccer.
Yeah, of course, that's here, yes. We'd watch football, and the games would be, California time would be in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So of course by 11 in the morning or 12, noon, we've already had like 3 pints of beer, and the day is just shot.
You want a nap.
So I was like, Charlie, we need a hobby, man. We've got to... So we talked about starting a brewery, and we both had talked about we both brewed beer a little bit in college, so we wanted to try something different. So we decided wine. Mm-hmm. So I started Googling how to make wine. I started getting subscriptions to magazines, buying all kinds of books, and then started trying to find places to buy grapes, and found the Dunlaps up in Hidden Meadows, which is just north of Escondido.
Mm-hmm.
They grow Merlot.
Mm-hmm.
Found Bob Dykhouse in Fallbrook. He grows Cabernet Sauvignon and Zinfandel. And then Cameron, my wife, had a lot of contacts because she was in the wine business up in Santa Barbara County. So I talked to some folks up there, and one of the vineyard managers spent over an hour on the phone with me, and I was nothing to him.
Sure.
And
but he was generous.
And I was like, okay, that's my guy.
Yeah.
And so we get a lot of fruit from him now. Cabernet Franc, Petit Syrah, Syrah, Barbera, Petit Verdot, Nebbiolo. I mean, they grow a lot of different varietals.
Mm-hmm.
But we've still always focused on French and Italian varietals.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a big fan of Tempranillo. I've never been a big fan of Spanish wines.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there aren't good ones out there. I just haven't.
It's not your cup of wine.
It's not my cup of tea. Yeah. No. I like big, dry reds.
Mm-hmm.
I used to make whites as well and rosés, but every time we took wine home for dinner, it was always the reds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why do we have to make... And we were thinking we needed whites so we had more... a broader array for customers.
Sure, right.
And right at that time we were having that conversation, we went up to Willamette, the wine-growing region up in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go wine tasting, and some of the wineries were just pouring Pinots, just mm-hmm. doing Pinot Noirs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if they're just doing Pinots, we can certainly... put out an array of just reds.
Sure.
So that's what we did. So the winemaking, we were probably like 3 years in, maybe 4 years in, and it was those sorts of decisions that honed it into, if we're going to just do this,
mm-hmm.
we've got to be really good
really
at
good
it.
Really good at it.
It's
right.
like Rockies and Pacific Beach. They mm-hmm. only do burgers.
Mm-hmm.
They better be good.
Yeah.
So that became the focus. The focus then became how to then improve the quality,
mm-hmm.
whether it's using egg white fining techniques, pectic enzymes during primary fermentations, whether it's finding a better supplier for French oak barrels,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a fining, not a filtering, whether it's extended maceration during the primary fermentation. There's all sorts of little tweaks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's figure out what yeast we want to use. Is it a blend of yeasts? There's just a number of different techniques, and it's just taken. I've been making wine now for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's gone from. I was just telling this to a customer yesterday. He was asking about how I felt about making wine, like how I got into it, but also how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I replied this way. I said, at first it was fun,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of an experiment. It was kind of a gamble. We started off just doing, 300 pounds of grapes, and the very next year went to 4 tons.
The next year.
And it's not like brewing beer, where if you mess up, you can just start again.
Right.
We can't start again until next harvest.
Right.
So you've got to wait a whole other year. And you may not even know the wine's bad, because you don't taste it for the first year, maybe, because it's red.
Yeah.
And then you're set back, you know, you're set back in time.
Yeah.
So I described it to this customer as being, it was fun at first, because it was kind of just a laugh.
Sure.
It was a hobby.
Sure.
But then the money started getting sunk into it. So then it became more serious and kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wine was good, but I felt like I was getting lucky.
Oh.
And I said, the difference now in my winemaking is that now I have a confidence.
Sure.
That the process isn't really pushing me. I'm pushing the process.
Oh, that's awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's a total feeling inside, like, maybe a little bit of knowledge has been added, but now there's enough time that's been added that feeling lucky now feels like confidence.
That's so great.
And that transition happened for me probably about 5 years ago.
Wow.
And that was a good feeling, yeah.
It's just funny how something can start, like you said, we need a hobby, and...
We're spending too much time in the pub, Robin. I've got to... You know, like Chai and I were both single, and, you know, we were too, you know... We come to take a girl out on a date on a Saturday night because we were already three sheets to the wind by two in the afternoon.
Bag.
So, we needed a hobby. And I literally was like, where do I start? And I just started Googling winemaking in San Diego. Yeah. And the San Diego Amateur Winemaking Society popped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, of course, yeah, there's a home winemaking society. That makes sense. So I click on it. They're linked, you know, all kinds of stuff, tips and tricks and tips and... grapes for sale, and I was like, wow, how do I know who's good, who's bad, what do I want, is this a good price? I don't know, not quite sure where that is in San Diego County. Is that a long drive? And it was just this giant kind of grid of people selling grapes, but then there was one post and it says, we're having a party, champagne toast at 6 a.m. Merlot fruit, 60 cents a pound, give us a holler, food will be provided, drinks will be provided.
6 a.m.
So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, okay, that's my guy. And that, sure enough, was the Dunlaps.
Oh.
The picture of the vineyard on our website is that vineyard where we're doing a champagne toast and where we did our first harvest, where we left with two buckets of grapes. Now we take almost the entire crop.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Dunlaps are just the nicest folks.
That's so great.
I know even a couple other local wineries have bought from them too, like Mike Pinguini's bought from them in the past. But yeah, that's kind of how it started, was as a hobby. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And drink champagne in the morning and then go off into the vineyard and pick grapes. But then once you start investing money into it, and then it gets serious, and then there's a lot of pressure on you, and then you feel like you're getting lucky. And then over time, then you have the confidence and you're like, okay, it's more than luck. I'm actually good at what I'm doing.
That's so great. I'm totally enjoying listening to you. I'm like enthralled by the whole wine passion. You can like, I don't know, you can hear it, you know, that it's
a thing. I'll tell you what, it's a thing. When that morning we went out and picked Merlot fruit at 6 a.m. We literally, everyone there was probably 35 people or so, we toasted the harvest, toasted the crop.
Yeah.
As the sun was coming up. It was just fantastic. My job at the time was sitting behind a desk staring at a computer most of the day. So this was such a, you know, and I'm from a small farming village in England, and this felt like I was getting back
to your roots.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Off the desk, away from the computer, and in the dirt. And it was just, and that's why I'm so excited about the property that we just bought. Because I took soil samples, and even taking the soil samples that I sent off to a lab up in Fresno, I was like, I'm digging in dirt.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is good. It feels good.
Yeah.
So we're going to get some vines in the ground this spring. We'll plan to, it's going to take 3 years or so for those to have usable fruit.
Sure.
And we'll build a winery, maybe a little cottage for my wife and I, and have a tasting room there too. We're going to keep Julian.
Sure.
And the plan currently will be to close Morena, but not for like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
So we'd have the Bellina Valley location and the Julian location.
Bellina Valley sounds so sexy anyway.
Doesn't it sound good?
I tried to even say it sexy. Did you notice?
Matt Pittman, one of the brewers over there at JBC, the head brewer at JBC, he grew up there. Now, he pronounces it the Spanish way, Bellina.
Oh.
And I thought, oh, should I say Bellina? And I thought, I don't speak Spanish. I'm just going to pronounce it how it looks. So I call it Bellina.
Well, it makes sense too, because if you did call it that, everybody else is going to call it Bellina anyway, because we're, you know.
Yeah. But I'm sure I'm going to get corrected at some point,
That's
okay.
But that's fine.
It's like when you go to Prescott, you say Prescott, Arizona, but they correct you everywhere. It's announced Prescott.
My
in-laws are up there.
Yeah, it's like Cuyamaca. With my job, you know, the word Cuyamaca gets butchered thousand times a day in this office.
One of my first times driving to Julian's from San Diego, and we drove up the Lake Cuyamaca way, and I ran past the sign. And I was like, "How do you say that? How do you say that?
You're not alone."
We love this town. My wife and I absolutely adore this town. And we were driving back. Her folks live in Prescott. That's how I know about the pronunciation of Prescott, Arizona. We were driving back from Prescott back to home in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And we were driving back on New Year's Eve. And this was 12, 13 years ago, mm-hmm. before we had a business here.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like 15 years? No, maybe, yeah, 13, 14. We haven't been together that long.
I'm not that old.
And we're like, what are we going to do for New Year's? Because we were driving and we were just talking. And we're like, what are we going to do for New Year's Eve? And we're like, so-and-so is doing this party. And we're like, no, we don't. You know, yeah. It's going to be too crowded. So-and-so is going out to this Colonia's bar or restaurant. Right. Like, no, too expensive. And we were like, let's stop at that little town of Julian and go to that little bar that's at the back of the Wrong Branch.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? The Boar's Head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we rolled into town, got a hotel room,
mm-hmm.
parked the car, walked to that old bar that was in the back of the restaurant, and everyone in there was so, we didn't know anybody.
Right.
Everyone was so friendly, they gave us, you know, the New Year's Eve paper hats and the little, what do you call those things that you blow out?
Horns.
We had such a good time, and the next day, we were driving back, you know, finishing our drive home, we're like, it's just a fun town to kind of stumble upon, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of us. We'd been here before, but that night for New Year's Eve, we stumbled upon it and spent the night, and it was just magical.
Yeah.
So when that little piece of string went, you know, from the pin or going in a circle, went right through Julian, it was
kismet.
There was that. It was just like with the label. When we first started the winery and we started talking about selling to the public, getting bonded and getting licensed and that sort of stuff. The next question was like, what does this bottle look like?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the label? What's the name of our winery? You know, all this sort of stuff. Because we were doing business as M&C Winery Incorporated,
mm-hmm.
which is just M&C, Mark mm-hmm. and Charlie.
Yeah.
Just our initials.
Yeah.
But there was no actual label name. But we formed the company just so we could start writing off stuff for taxes because things were getting expensive.
Sure.
And we had at home a painting that my mum had painted,
mm-hmm.
and it was of this beautiful blue door in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And Cameron and I met in New Mexico. We both went to college out there. And as this sort of time was, as this sort of discussion was happening about what the label should look like, my mom called me and she goes, "Mark," she goes, "honey, can you send me a couple of bottles of that wine that you're making out there in California with the blue door painting as the label, the one you're hanging in your house?" And I was like, oh my God, Blue Door Winery. Blue Door should be, it's my mom's painting.
Sure.
It's one of those easy names. The name is the same as the image.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Chateau or something you can never remember what it means.
The Spanish pronunciation somewhere.
You forget what it is.
Right.
Cameron and I met in New Mexico, which was awesome. But, you know, the most important thing is that it's my mom's painting.
Yeah.
And she'll call me. And, you know, she's from South Texas. She has a very Southern accent. Oh, honey. You know, how many bottles of wine is my painting on right now? Mom, right now about 1,500. You know, she goes, "Oh my God!" Yeah, she just loves it.
It was the machine. I told you.
Fax machine.
Yeah.
Okay. No, but it's from getting into making wine. The way the label came around, the way Julian fits into everything. Mm-hmm. We're a family business.
Yeah.
It's my best friend Charlie and I,
mm-hmm.
And my wife, and then we have two employees.
And you also have another very important.
We have Oliver.
Oliver, I was like, we got to talk about Oliver.
Anybody who's he's mostly in Julian because mm-hmm. he's mostly with Cam at the mm-hmm. tasting room, but he'll go to San Diego sometimes too. But yeah, he's Dale and Carol, who are locals who live here in town. Their house is right behind the tasting room. And they describe Ollie as the hardest working dog in Julian. There he goes, hardest working dog in Julian.
That's so cute.
But he's the greaser. Yeah, anyone who anyone who, you know, when they first walk in, we're like, go say hi, Ollie. And he immediately just wanders over and says hi. And then if he likes you, he'll sit on your lap while you're drinking your glass of wine. Or sometimes he'll lay on the table right next to your sangria cup. So, yeah, no, he's great. We are we are kid-friendly, family-friendly, dog-friendly. We don't have food. Every now and again, we have cheese boxes, like charcuterie boxes.
Sure.
But folks are welcome to bring their own food in.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great thing about Julian, because Nickel Beer is the same way. Yeah. And it's important that we let people know that, because you can get great sandwiches like 2 seconds from the Blue Door. Oh. You can get that Mexican food.
Right across the ketchup. Street. Ketchup's got some good taco plates and things. Yes, yeah.
I love ketchup.
I had ketchup last night. It was so good.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Somebody else just posted on Facebook their dinner last night at ketchup. Yeah.
Yeah. I had something off the menu, which they make only for me.
Oh.
And I kept telling our customers to go over there and ask for it because it's so good. And Kara, you know Kara?
Yeah, Kara,
her and Jose own Ketcho. Mm-hmm. She came over, she goes, Mark, you got to stop telling people. It's like the In-N-Out menu is like a little secret order.
Right, wait, I don't understand that. And for the purposes of life, even though it doesn't have anything to do with this podcast, there's a dessert at Jeremy's that... you have to know it's there, and you know, ask for it, and it's like, I'm not telling anybody, because
can you say it right now?
No, I'm not going to say it right now.
I'm not going to say what I order at Ketchup.
Yeah, exactly.
Kara would lose it with me.
Yeah, I just kind of raised my eyebrows. You got any of it? Because you know they have that little baker, and they don't always have it, so you don't want to.
Yeah,
like Kara was saying to you, you don't want to disappoint people. So
well, and on like a. I think when she got kind of upset, it was on a busy Saturday, and they've got, you know, the kitchen's backed up as it is,
sure.
And then they get these weird orders of things that aren't even on the menu. And Kara's like, Mark, knock it off, man.
Damn neighbors. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But to me, that's like a great thing up here, though, is like we get on so well.
Yeah.
With Tom at Nickel, you know, with Vince and Jeremy at JBC, with Jose and, you know, we get on with everybody. Mm-hmm. And
Robin from the Chamber.
And Robin from the Chamber.
She's fantastic.
And we just, I don't know. Like, even when the employees from the Julian Cafe, they come in and fill their growlers for sangria.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's cool.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah. This is a great little place to live. I'm so thrilled that we moved here. And I think passion like yours and your personality is something that's going to draw people to Julian. You know, you're fine. First of all, this is a long podcast.
I'm usually washing the wine glasses, though. The person people get most of the time are going to be Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's if you think I get passionate about wine, like, times it by 10 for her.
Oh,
she's,
wow.
She is, you know, she'll have the hand movements going and just, isn't that fantastic, isn't that? Yeah. But she's also very passionate about it because she knows how hard we work at it.
Sure.
And how long it's taken us to get to this point.
Sure.
And you're dealing with it's a product that we're not a liquor store. You know, we're not buying pre-made alcohol.
Right,
we're making it.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure, A, you're not going to kill someone.
Right.
These are important. Things are sterilized properly.
Sure, sure.
You've got to make sure that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get that, you're not going to kill anybody, and that it's good. Now you've got to get to that. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Otherwise, people will just go to the liquor store. And then the fantastic has to be not just the product. It has to be the packaging, the labeling, the ambiance of the space, the experience, the atmosphere, and frankly, the passion and the hospitality that's coming from anybody that a customer is going to come face-to-face with.
Sure.
Whether it's me, whether it's my wife, whether it's our dog, and Ollie's very passionate, or anybody who works for us, works with us and for us.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to all be a reflection, have their own personalities, but be a reflection that they are a key component of this overall package.
Mm-hmm.
That is when somebody walks into the tasting room or into the winery in San Diego, they're like, wow. Or, you know, when they walk away, they're like, wow, what a great experience that was.
That's so cool.
And we don't get it all the time, but we get it most of the time, for sure. We're probably in the 99% of the time, that's the feeling people leave with.
That's so great.
Every now and again, there's someone that for some reason or other is... Can't please everybody, but we aim to please...
Yeah, you can't please everybody, especially in today's day and age. It is what it is,
But it's funny, I'll sit back, I'll polish a wine glass, and I'll be watching Cam interact with folks, and I can see they are engaged with what she's saying. We do simple things like always use waiter style corkscrews. Always. Mm-hmm. I want customers to see us twisting those mm-hmm. corkscrews like a waiter at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. We never put tasting notes down on the bar, ever.
That, because I understand.
A lot of times when you go wine tasting, they'll have tasting notes up.
Yeah.
And so what you'll do as a customer is your head will go down and read those tasting notes.
Yeah.
I don't want to stare at the top of someone's head.
Sure.
I want them looking at my eyes. Yeah. And we'll tell you the tasting notes.
Yeah.
And that will also get us engaged in a conversation.
Yeah.
Not just you with your head down reading something.
Yeah, that's super intentional.
It's very intentional. Yeah. And there's a lot of little things. Even the markings of where the wine glasses are logoed, uh-huh. those are purposely set for 6 ounces, so we get a perfect 6 ounce pour for a glass of wine.
Oh, get you.
Without having to put a line on the glass.
Sure.
The actual logo is in a specific location. There's lots of little tiny things mm-hmm. that make the experience for you, the customer, mm-hmm. just it makes everything more fluid. It just makes everything, I don't know. I remember once I was at an airport, I think it was in Dallas, maybe in Fort Worth, and they had a mock glass of wine, mm-hmm. and someone at the bar had ordered a glass of wine, and the bartender grabbed the empty glass, put it next to the mock one, and then filled it to get to the level that was in the mock glass. And I thought, how tacky is that? There's got to be better ways to do it. And so right. I was like, so that was when I was like, okay, so when we do this, let's have a logo that's positioned to be perfectly 6 ounces.
Yeah.
So the bartender, you can turn the glass towards the logo, towards the customer, mm-hmm. see through the glass to that logo mark, and you get the exact pour every time.
That's great.
So yeah, yeah. Little small things that just make things feel better, mm-hmm. but are still doing it the right way.
Yeah. That's super awesome.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, I think your passion absolutely came through. Nothing to say but the 20 interviews before, but this is one of my favorites. You're just so, like,
cool. You need to come in for some wine or sangria. We just released our brand new Sangiovese. Oh, my God. It's insane. It's insane. The nose is strawberries, raspberries, terracotta clay pot.
Oh, my gosh.
I kid you not. On the nose. It's fantastic. On the palate is pure strawberries and raspberries. It is so good. It is dry, but it tastes like strawberries and raspberries and smells like terracotta clay pot with a hint of fruit.
Huh.
So good.
Wow.
Yeah, we just released that last week.
Yeah, I saw it on your social media. I think I shared it. Because you had it on Instagram.
I think Carol, main bartender in San Diego, I think uh-huh. posted it on Instagram.
Yeah, so I shared it.
Yeah. Thank you.
So people will be excited about it too.
It's really good.
Yeah, then they can hear you be super excited about
it. It's so good. Yeah, trust me, it's good.
So once again, for those visiting Julian, it's on B Street. If you come into Town Hall, I always tell everybody exactly. Oh, my computer turned off. There will be a slideshow of a bunch of photos that you supplied. Oliver will be one of them.
Perfect. Awesome.
And some of the tasting room photos, all that great stuff. So that slideshow is available. It'll be available on the podcast platform and also on our blog on visitjulian.com. So people can get a visual of all the things that you've been talking about
here today. Awesome.
Yeah, so thank you so much for coming in.
Of course, Robin.
Yeah, it was fun. All right.
We'll see you at the pub, I'm sure, sometime.
Exactly. Thanks.
Alrighty.